Chapter number 6, amen. Good to see you here. I think we got a couple of first-time visitors. We thank you for coming by and being with us. We're just an old-fashioned church. Believe the old-fashioned book, the old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned worship, amen. John chapter number 6. I'm an outline preacher. I like to take outlines and give you structure for sermons. There's several reasons why you use outlines. Number one, you use them as a preacher to keep you in order. Amen. Keep you a little bit of in order of the context of the thought. And it's not only for the preacher to keep a little order in the context of the thought. It's for the hearer to follow along and keep along with the thought that God has laid on our heart for that hour. Amen. But today is not an outline message. Amen. So we're going to both need to pay attention a little bit better. Amen. You help me pay attention, I'll help you pay attention, and we'll just try to listen to the Lord like we always do, whether it be an outline sermon or, as this case, we'll just go down the scriptures and preach as we go along. Amen. And try to expound the Word of God. Amen. And I know this is the passage the Lord has laid on our heart for the day, but the Lord didn't allow me to put it in no kind of a structure. Maybe He will later on, but we'll just preach it to you the way He gave it to me. And we'll trust the Lord to do what He does, because He's God and He knows what we all need. Amen. So John chapter number 6, we'll read the first 14 verses of John chapter number 6. As we read the story, many of you probably heard this account. If you read through your Bible any, matter of fact, if you was to just have read through only one of the gospel accounts, and that would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you would read this story. This miracle that the Lord performs here in feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle that's expounded on in every gospel account. Amen. So you could pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you would, if you just read one of them through, you would have read this story and this miracle that the Lord did in feeding that multitude that day. John chapter number 6 and verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. That means after the things that took place in chapter 5. And we'll say a few things about them in a minute. Which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now the Passover feast is the remembrance of the day when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, back over there in the Old Testament. And that Passover sacrifice was given, and the blood was shed and put on the doorpost on both sides and on the lintel on the top. And God, the death angel, passed through, and He delivered the children of Israel miraculously under the hand of Moses. And now they're remembering that Passover feast yearly, as it comes up as a memorial in their hearts and minds. And so it's around that time when this story took place. The Bible said in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, now He's sitting up on the mountain, resting with His disciples a little while, after He has passed over the Sea of Galilee, He lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Philip said, hey, 200 pennyworth ain't enough to buy for this crowd. Andrew, in his lack of faith also, Philip's brother, said, hey, there's a little lad here with a little lunch. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, but hey, what's that going to do to feed this crowd? The Bible said in verse number 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the people sat down in number about 5,000. If you read the other accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the 5,000 is just the number of men that were there. Jesus saw that multitude coming. And in the other gospel accounts, we get a little more understanding of that day and that story and that miracle that took place. 5,000 were just men. If half of them were married, that makes 7,500. Then if half of them had a child, get you up around 10,000 at least. We're just kind of throwing out figures of just the size of the multitude that came to Jesus that day. And it could be way bigger than that. Maybe a little smaller than that. At least 5,000. And Philip said, hey, 200 penny worth? Man, that ain't going to buy for this crowd. And Andrew said, not only that, hey, only thing we got here is a little lunch from a little kid.
Yeah.
A little lad. What's that going to do? Jesus said, hey, just make him sit down. And he sat on the grass, 5,000 at least just in men. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that sat down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. He's taking this 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blessed it in the name of God, divided it, handed it to the disciples, and they go to distribute. And he said, let them eat all they want. It's buffet. Eat until you're full. Now, of course, some of them ate a lot more than others, like it does at a buffet, and some ate a little less. But you put 5,000 just men, not count the women and the children, and just 2 fish and 5 loaves, and they eating all they can. Because with the Lord, little is much when God's in it. He said, as much as they would. Verse 12, then they were filled. When they were filled, so they ate enough to get full, just didn't nibble on it and take a little snack. He said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that none be lost. That's just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everybody's ate to their full, and God said, get up the fragments, the leftovers. Boy, we in the South, everybody loves leftovers, don't they? Amen. The Bible said in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray and ask God for some help. Brother Ben, good to see y'all back. Brother, how about pray for us this morning?
Thank you, God. Father, for just being in your house today. Among your
yes, people. Yes.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Precious. Lord, already you've spoken to my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for that. Sometimes, Lord, we just need to sit down.
Yes, yes.
See what the Lord has for us. Meditate on his word. Think about his goodness and his mercy and grace. Truly, Lord, you're worthy of our praise today. Ask now that you bless your word that is lodging every heart.
Yes, yes.
Lord, I dream different than I come.
Yes, yes.
And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure this crowd, we have a lot of you are very busy people. But I would say, by the way of starting off this morning as we begin to dive into Scripture, that there's nothing more important in your life than what's going to go on in the next hour.
Amen.
We're here to hear from God's Word, not because I'm the preacher, because these are God's words, and God has appointed us to be here for such a time as this.
Amen.
So try to allow the Lord and allow the Holy Ghost of God to speak to your heart through the Word of God. Don't allow the devil to come by and distract you with thoughts of things that you cannot control at this hour.
Right.
Amen. So let's listen to the Lord. Verse number 1 said, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. After these things. First thing we see out of this passage was Jesus by the way, I got to give a title to Sound Man to be mad. The lad's lunch, Brother Richie. The lad's lunch. Amen. The Sound Man don't think it's a sermon unless there's a title, amen. The Lad's Lunch. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. If you was to read chapter number 5, you see the story where Jesus Christ is dealing with these Jews in Jerusalem. They reject him, And it's his authority as being God. And so after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee. First thing I see out of this passage this morning, that if you don't want God, he'll find somebody that does.
Yeah, right.
And that truth is truth here, and it's still truth here today. Listen, God wants to help you. Just as he wanted to help the Jews in Jerusalem, now he's traveled over somewhere else because the Jews in Jerusalem didn't want him. And if you allow the Lord to pass by and don't do business with him, God will go help somebody that wants it. But nobody wants to help you more than God does. Amen. He'll find somebody that wants him. He went over the Sea of Galilee. Amen. Hey, Jesus knows where to find those that need help. Well, I'm glad the Bible says in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hey, God's been looking for you.
Yeah,
and he knows where to find you at, amen. Hey, matter of fact, he knew where to find you today in church, but he knew where to find you last week when you wasn't in church. Hey, God's been looking for you, and God wants to save you and change you and help your life, amen. And he'll make an appointment to come by your way.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one of the worst things that ever happened to your life is God give up on you and let you go.
Right.
You better be glad he's been troubling you in that bed. You better be glad he's been troubling you on the job. You better be glad he's been dwelling around in your heart and mind trying to do something. And God cares about you, amen. Cared so much that he passed over to the other side to get to where they were.
Right.
We see Jesus many a times crossing from one place to another to get to somebody that needs him. Verse number 2 said, as he had got to the other side, a great multitude followed him. I mean, he left that side of Jerusalem, got in a ship, went over to the Sea of Galilee, and some of them got on ships and came behind him. Some people wanted him really bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, you're in a good spot when you really want God. When you're really open to the Spirit of God speaking into your heart. Amen. And as he was on the other side, amen, the great multitudes followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. You know why? You know what? Jesus knows why you're following. Their motive is not good here. And the true motive of the heart is not because they love God and they believe who he is. They're following him because of the miracles that he done.
Yeah.
Do you know a lot of people follow God for the wrong motive?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Maybe you're even here today with the wrong motive. Hey, can I help you in on a secret? First time I ever came here, I came with the wrong motive. I didn't come here with the right motive. I came here with bad intentions, amen. I didn't come here to seek God, but I'm glad God was waiting on me when I got there. I'm glad God knows what I need when I don't know what I need. I might be coming for the wrong motive, but God knows how to meet me with the right motive and change my direction, amen. Hey, they were in the wrong motive, amen. Hey, Jesus knows why they followed him. Hey, he knows what you do.
Yeah.
Nothing's hid from him, amen. Amen. Like many today, amen, they know of him, but they don't know him as Savior.
Yeah.
You ever hear people say stuff like this? You start talking about salvation and being born again, which great message on salvation this morning in Sunday school. If you're lost, you need to hear it because you plainly how to be born again. But you know what the problem is? A lot of people, they know God, know of him, but they do not know him as Savior.
Right.
They know him in their mind. Well, I believe in God. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. And I believe the Bible. And I believe in church. Hey, all those things are good. And believing those things, the devils believe and tremble. But they're not saved, amen. Hey, you better know more than just knowing of him and the miracles and the things that he does. You better know him as your Savior, amen. They know him. They follow him for the wrong motive. Their intentions are not right, amen. Hey, but you know what? Jesus is always concerned about others even when their motive's not right. Here's a crowd that's following him because of the miracles. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain and there sat with his disciples. Now he's came to the other side. You read the other accounts. They're going to take a little rest, take a little ease, because the Son of God is the Son of Man, and in his flesh he gets weak and weary, but as God he never is weary. Amen. He went to sit down with his disciples. It was the time of the Passover. The feast of the Jews was nigh. The Bible said in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he said it over to the disciples. They're gathering together in the mountain, take a little rest, maybe a little prayer time like he many times did in the mountains. Hey, a little bit of talking to the Father. But as he's sitting on that mountain with the disciples, could you let your mind's eye go there? And they're just sitting there. And that crowd that has got on the ships has came to the shore. Hey, coming to where he's at. And God sees a great crowd coming his way. At least 5,000. Just in men. And he's sitting on that mountain, so he's got a good view of where they're at and where they're coming from. Hey, God's still got a good view today.
Yeah, right.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he can see everything that's going on, and he knows you're seeking him. He knows your motive's not right, but even though your motive's not right, just like many was in that day, he still cared about him.
Yeah.
He lifted up his eyes in verse number 5. Hey, Bible said, and saw great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? There's a great crowd that's coming to him. Their motive is not right, but God is still concerned. The other gospel accounts use the word that when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he had compassion on them. He was heartbroken over them. Amen. Even though their motives are wrong, God still has a heart for people. Thank God, God's heart for people. Thank God for his concern for people. Hey, and God will test you to see where you're at. He looked at Philip. The crowd, he's on the mountain with his disciples, Philip being one of the disciples, the big multitude's coming. He said, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? There's many disciples there. Why would he ask Philip? Why didn't he ask Andrew? He kind of, you know, chimed in and gave his thoughts anyhow. Why didn't he ask Peter? Why didn't he ask some of the others? You know why I believe he asked Philip? Because if you study the gospel accounts, John chapter number 1, it was Philip's hometown. And the Lord said, Philip, this is your town. This is where you live. Where can we get some bread to feed them? Hey, you know what? God knows where you're living. God knows your town. And God wants you busy in your area.
Yeah.
God wants you witnessing on your job and in your neighborhood and in your family and in your community. God knows where you're at and God wants you busy where you're at.
Yeah.
This is your time. This is your area. Hey, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus is testing him. Amen. Where do you turn when your back's against the wall? Amen. A big multitude is coming. Amen. Philip looks around and he's like, hey, you talking to me? Where am I going to get some bread? Philip says, in his own mind, not only in his own mind, he said it out of his mouth, 200 pennies worth is not enough for this crowd. His back's against the wall. Yes, this is my town. Yes, this wall ought to be working for you, Lord. But hey, I can't do this. This is above me. Do you know what? Some of you this morning, there's some things you're going through this morning. They're above you. And your back's against the wall. And the Lord's asking you a question. What are you going to do? You know what, if you're not careful, you'll look to your own resources instead of looking to the God that can fulfill the resources like Philip did. He looked at the resources instead of looking at the God of the resources.
Yeah, right.
He said, 200 pennies worth not enough, Lord, for this. And the Lord's just testing him to see what he's going to do. Maybe the Lord's got your back against the wall this morning.
Yeah.
Maybe God's trying to put you through a test to see what you can do, what you will do, and see if you'll stick it out and do allow God to do a miracle through your life. The answer to the question in verse 5 was right before him. It was the Lamb of God. It was the bread of life.
Yeah, right.
It was God himself. Hey, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory.
Right.
Hey, the God of glory was there. He could take care of it. The only problem was Philip had a lack of faith in what God can do. Do you know what our problem is today? Our backs are against the wall. Many of you, hey, you're backing up thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this situation? And God is your answer today, and God wants to help you. And if you'll turn to him, God can fulfill your need and help you out of it. The problem is that many of you won't turn to God. You'll turn to your own resources and your own mind, how you worked it out, how you figured it out. And you're going to go away from God instead of trusting him.
Yeah, right.
God's trying to help you. God's got your back against the wall. Hey, God knows how to get you where you need to be.
Yeah, right, exactly right.
He knows what kind of test and trial to put you through. It was near Philip's hometown, Bethsaida. Hey, man. Hey. Are you working for God where you're at? He saw Christ do many miracles in his life. Up to this account in the story in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philip had seen many miracles performed by the Lord. Amen. And that God that had performed those miracles before could still perform one at that moment. The only problem was when you get your back against the wall and the resources look meager and you don't see a way out, whether it be your finances or your physical state or your spiritual state or your home or your life, you think, how can I do it? Hey, if you just take time and slow down and meditate on God, he was there before. He's done miracles before. He's brought you out before. He can still bring you out today.
Yeah, right.
You know what our problem is? We look at the immediate surroundings and think there's no way out of this. Hey, you know what? If the truth be told, there were many times like that in our lives we thought there was no way out. But God came through and God brought us out. And the same God that brought you out back then, Phil, will bring you out today.
Yeah, right.
He's got a lack of faith. God done many of miracles, and he's seen many of things done, but now it's his turn. Now we see a lack of faith in his life. Amen. His faith is weak. Amen. Look in verse number 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I mean, it isn't even good enough for them to take a little bit. I think it was, when we read the end of the stories we've read, man, it was not only enough for a little bit, it was enough to make everybody full and still 12 baskets left over.
Yeah, right.
Listen, it might not look like much right now, but if God gets in it and you trust God, there's no telling what he'll do in your life.
Yeah.
Hey, some of you just come in this morning, your back's against the wall and you see no way out, and God's trying to tell you, I am the way out. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I can help you if you'll trust me. Amen.
Yeah.
You're trying to put it in a calculator, and you're trying to work it out in your mind, and you're trying to figure it out with your family, and trying to talk it over with your husband and your wife, and all these things are right in their own aspect, amen. Hey, but sometimes you just got to throw up your hands and say, God, I can't go any further. You're going to have to move in and help.
Right.
And you know what he'll probably say? That's what I've been waiting on the whole time.
Yeah, right.
The Lord said he asked him to prove him. He already knew the answer. He just wanted Philip to see the answer.
Yeah, right.
Listen, the Lord knows the answer in your life today. He just wants you to see the answer.
Amen.
Philip had a little weak faith. Look in chapter 6 and verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now that we see the weak faith of Philip in his hometown, we see the weak faith of Philip has affected the faith of Andrew. Do you know unbelief is an infectious disease?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Hey, Philip said, hey, we can't do this. And Andrew said, yeah, you're right, we can't do this. Hey, you know what's wrong with some of you? You're hanging around with the weak faith people. And the reason why your faith is weak, because their faith is weak. Hey, the reason why you grumble about everything is because they grumble about everything. The reason why you run your mouth is because they run their mouth. That's the kind of people you run with.
Right.
And your faith is lacking and you're stagnant in your Christianity. And God wants you to go forward, amen. Get around some people that will rub off and make you better, amen.
Yeah.
Brother Jim Fuller said years ago, he said, find you somebody that's more spiritual to you and hang out with them. You know what the truth of the matter is? We don't do that. We hang out with somebody weaker than us so we can look like we're the spiritual one.
Yeah, right.
Find you somebody that can rub off on you, help you go forward for the Lord instead of backwards.
Right.
Philip said, we can't do this. And Andrew said, you're right, man. Last time I checked, all he is a little lab and a little lunch. His unbelief was infectious. It fell over on his life. Hey, you know what the problem is with both of them? And it's the same problem that's today in our lives. They're looking at the situation without Christ.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you would look through that through the eyes of God, which is what he tried to get them to start with, to prove them, they wouldn't be in the shape they're in. You know what's wrong with many of you today? You're looking at it through your eyes without Christ on your side. I mean, hey, the old saying is little as much when God's in it.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Hey, with God, you are the majority.
Yeah.
Amen. Our God is not limited, amen. He can still do great things in our lives. He just wants to prove us and try us and help us get to where we need to be to make an impact in our community.
Yeah, right.
What he wanted to do with Philip. He wanted to work a miracle in his hometown. Hey, let that boy see and show others that God is real in his neighborhood, amen.
Right.
What God wants you to prove to this whole world, and that God you're serving down at that church on Sunday morning, he's a real God, he's a true God, and he can make a difference in your life if you trust him, as they watch you trust him with your life.
Right.
You're the ambassador for Christ to them. You're the witness that God has sent there. And God wants to prove you. This is the only miracle in all the Gospels, as we said. No other miracle is done before so many or in so much public. And John is the only one out of all the accounts where the story is given that mentions the lad. They mention the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. But only in the account of John do we get the insight that that five loaves and those two fishes belong to the lad, a young person. It is to my belief, as I read the story in the account, you might differ here, that's fine. Amen. It ain't going to change the doctrine of what I'm about to preach. That when Jesus sat on that mountainside and he saw the multitudes coming, and as they were coming, that's the way the story goes, he said to Philip, "Hey, where can we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip said, 200 pennies worth, not enough for that crowd is coming. He didn't say that part about coming, but that's what's going on. They're coming towards you. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "Hey, there's a little lad here." Now, either one of two things are happening. Either Andrew saw the lad coming with the crowd, or the little lad was sitting there the whole time. It's to my belief that I believe he was sitting there the whole time. By the wording of the scriptures, the Bible said, there is a lad here. He's not on his way. As Jesus saw the multitude coming, he asked a question. He said, the lad's here. He was right there the whole time. While Jesus was sitting on that mountain, his disciples, there's a little kid there with his lunch. Mama packed him. Just observing the whole situation. Hey, he wasn't one of those that probably came on the ship over. It was his hometown. And the miracle that God wanted to work through the great apostle, the great disciple Philip, God ends up working the miracle in his town, not through him, but through the lad that lived in the town. Hey, God done something with a little kid in his hometown where he could have done something good with the great apostle in his town. Right. Hey, if you won't let God use you, God will use a little lad to do something for him.
Right.
God's not limiting who he'll use.
Right.
God's just looking for a vessel to say, here's what I got, Lord. You want it, here it is.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Brother David Tucker said that night, Friday night, about this passage, a little thought here, and this is what got in my mind, heart, and for the day. That boy probably, I'm sure he did. His mama did. Never knew that a little lunch she made for her little kid was going to be in the Bible to make such a great miracle. The little lad's there. He was probably there the whole time. You know what I know about this little lad? He was in the right place to be used of God.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what? If you're going to be used of God, you know where you need to be? You need to be in the right place.
Yeah, right.
You know where the right place is? Right there near Jesus.
Yeah.
Right there near Jesus. Now, he didn't understand all the great doctrines that the apostles knew. He probably hadn't seen a lot of the miracles that they had saw, but he was right there at the feet of Jesus. He's right there with the rest of them. You know what? If you want great miracles to be done in your life, get around the right person. The right person's God. Amen.
Yeah.
He's in the right place to be used of God. You know what? Some of you are not being used by God. You're not in the right place. Why does the drunk driver get killed in a drunken accident? Because he's in the wrong place.
Right.
Doing the wrong thing. Hanging with the wrong crowd. Why does it happen that way? Hey, get yourself in the right place, and there's no telling what God will do with your life.
Amen.
Surround yourself around the people of God. Surround yourself around the things of God. Make yourself available for the Lord's use when he wants to use you.
Amen.
You said, preacher, I've been sitting around the Lord, sitting around church a long time. The Lord ain't used me yet. Maybe it just ain't your time yet.
Right.
But if you keep hanging around the right place and the right people, God will choose when it's time to use what you have.
Amen.
He was in the right place to be used of God. He was around Jesus. Surround yourself around Jesus. You know what God wants? The old principle of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. If there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not. All God wants is what you have. You say, well, preacher, what I got ain't much. Could I remind you in our story, the little lad's lunch, it wasn't much neither in the world's eyes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even the disciples said, all we have here is a little lad, and he has five loaves and two fishes. It ain't much. But it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you do have.
Right.
If there be first a willing mind, are you willing to let God have what you got? It's according to what a man hath, and not according to what he hath and hath not. Hey, you say, I can't do this and I can't do that. Hey, God don't want what you can't do. God wants what you can do. Hey, God wants what you got. And if you give away God what you got, there's no telling what he'd do with it.
Amen.
He took a little boy's lunch, five loaves and two fishes, and it wasn't much in the world's eyes, but God took what he had and fed a multitude and took up 12 baskets with it. Amen.
Amen.
There's no telling what God will do with your life if you give him what you got.
Yeah.
When I'm not eloquent and I can't sing and I can't preach and I can't teach. Hey, God don't want what you don't have. He wants what you got.
Amen.
If you're willing to say, God, this is all I got. It ain't much. And some people might even snicker and mock at it. Five loaves and two fishes.
Right.
So Andrew wasn't like saying, hey, this is what he got. It was a throw off.
Yeah, right.
That's all he's got. How many people have ever looked at you and said, well, that's all they got? All they got is that old King James Bible and old church. All they got is a salvation testimony. That ain't much. But it's much when God's in it, amen. Hey, if you give God what you got, God will breathe on it,
amen.
You know what I can say that as a testimony this morning? God took what this old poor boy had. I didn't have much, but he breathed on it and blessed it, and glory be the name of God, amen. He just wants what you got. Well, I can't talk real good, Lord. And I kind of stutter and kind of stumble around. And I ain't going to succeed like everybody thinks. God said, son, I just want what you got.
Yeah, right.
If you give me what you got, I'll make you look better than what you are.
Yeah.
That's what God will do. I'd make that boy's lunch look a whole lot better than what it was.
Yeah.
It's like that old story Brother Jim Fuller says. Said him and that old boy used to go down there and pick cotton. You remember the story? Said he'd pick cotton at the end of the week. He said his daddy'd give him a dime. He said, they'd go down to the store, and they'd buy both of them a drink and a moon pie or something. That's when you can buy something with a dime. Y'all remember those days? Brother Johnny and Brother Shavis, only one. And he said, they'd go down every Friday, and he said, that old boy, take that dime and throw it up on the counter. He said, me and my boy, we want a drink and a moon pie. And he just felt like he was somebody. He said, one day he went down there, and his buddy went down there, and he kind of tugged at his friend. And he said, hey, man. He said, I know every time we go down here, you put up the dime. He said, can I put it up today and make it look like I'm the one with the money?
Yeah.
The boy and all his pride swell up in there. And he said, give me and my friend a Coke and two moon pies. Do you know what? That's what the Lord's done in our lives. Amen. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But he let us pay the dime anyhow. Amen.
Yeah, right.
That's how good God is. Amen. Hey, God makes us look like something we're not. Amen.
Amen.
Oh boy, I said, all he got is five loaves and two fishes. But yeah, God just wants what you got.
Yeah, amen.
You say, God can't do that in my life. God can't do that in my marriage. God can't do that in my family. Why can't He's done it in others?
Yeah, right.
Just wants what you got. God can do great things with little. We see in the Bible many instances like that. It was just, we look at it as something great thing, but all it was when Moses went out there and to lead the children of Israel out, and God said, what's that in your hand? He says, it's a rod.
Yeah.
It's just a little stick. And God took that stick and performed great miracles and led the children of Israel out of bondage. Just a rod. What about David? That little boy went out there and all he had was just a little sling. And that little sling brought victory to the children of the Jews against the Philistines in that day. That little widow, when the prophet came by, she said, all I got is a handful of meal. Oh, but how God breathed on it and used it, amen. Hey, God many a times has took a little bit and made a great thing out of it, amen. Hey, a little bit in God's hands is a bunch because God's hands are big, amen. His hands weighed out the mountains and they weighed out the oceans, amen. Hey, a little much is a great much when it's in God's hand. Just put what you got in God's hand and watch Him use it. What they did, took the five loaves and put it in His hands. Oh, how God could use your life if you'd put it in His hands. Turn it over to Him. Many could stand up and testify today about the facts of God's goodness in their lives. The days they placed it in God's hands and the miracles God has wrought. Hey, why can't you experience those miracles? Is it maybe because you just won't put it in His hands? You're still trying to do it through your resources? You're still trying to make it happen through your efforts, and you've never really have just surrendered it all to Him. He done it to prove Him. Maybe God's allowing you to go through that thing to prove you. He's wanting you to see if you'd put it in His hands what great things He can do. Amen. Are you and your things available to God? You. You say, what about my wife? What about my husband? No, well, you. What about my youngest? No, you. What about my parents? No, you. God wants to know if what you and your things are available for Him.
Amen.
That boy and his things were available. Are you in the place where God can use you? He was in the place physically. He was surrounded around the Lord. Hey, I believe we need to get in a place physically where we can be used of the Lord. God uses people out of the church house. He puts them in a place where they can be established and grow in the good grace of God. It's a Bible truth where you can establish yourself around good people and godly influences around the preaching of the Word of God. And if you put yourself in the right place, the better your life can be. I mean, the principle pro shows out in all of our lives. Hey, the best lives we've ever had is when we've been surrounded around God's people, around the preaching of the Word of God, down the house of God. It's when we forsake. I'm not trying to beat you this morning. Hey, but when we go away from the church, our lives go down. I'm going to go ahead and say everything that's got a steeple's not a church. But the ones that are right, if you get in there and do right, God will bless your life by it.
Amen.
Good godly influence. Good godly instruction. That'll keep you reminded of these things that I'm reminding you of today that you probably heard before, that you've been away from God so long you forgot these simple truths. He was in the right place physically. He's not in the right place physically. He was in the right place spiritually. You need to be in the right place spiritually if you want the Lord to use you. What did God say over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21? He's looking for a vessel of honor, meet and sanctified for the master's use. When you get into place physically and spiritually where God would have you, there is no telling and no limits to what God could do with your life. Not a bit. A lot of God's people are forfeiting the miracles of God in their lives because they won't get into place physically and spiritually so they can be used of God. You're holding out on Him. And while you're holding out on God, you're holding out on yourself and hurting your own self. Even sometimes as great disciples, we missed the great picture of the truth. This old boy was in the right place. Jesus never fails even when our faith is weak. These boys' faith was weak. They didn't see the picture of what the Lord was trying to show them, but through it all, God still wrought a miracle. The Bible says in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Amen. Jesus never fails even though their faith was weak. Hey, the first thing God said was, make them sit down. Do you know what the first thing you need to do? You just need to listen to God. Now, they didn't see how it could happen. And they still didn't believe it. 200 penny worth, not enough. Little lad's lunch, not enough. God said, make them sit down. You know what God, first thing God wants some of you to do? Just listen. Quit being so stinking hard-headed. You know, that's what's wrong with some of you. You're so hard-headed. You keep beating your head against the wall. Hey, you know what insanity is? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. Well, I can't win. I don't know why I can't get out. I don't know what's wrong with me and the black clouds over me. No, it might be over you because you keep staying under it. You're doing the same thing and expecting something different to happen. Some of you need some changes.
Amen.
Just listen to God. He said, make them sit down. Do you know what? Their obedience begins to cultivate their faith. Do you know, he said, but you ain't got no faith. God, I believe, help by mine unbelief. Do you know what we see in this passage here and we'll see as it goes along? Hey, their faith was weak, anemic. But they listened, and as they listened, God began to work, and as God began to work, their faith began to increase.
Amen.
You know what some of you need to do? Just listen to God, do what He says, and God will start to give you faith.
Amen.
So I can't see it. I know you can't, but just obey Him and trust Him on credit that God will come through.
Amen.
And guess what? Every time God comes through.
Yes.
Amen. He said, make them sit down. You just need to listen to God. You need to obey what He says, even when your faith is weak. He said, make them sit down. You know what some of you need to do? You need to be still and know that He's God.
Amen.
You need to sit down. Sit down. The Bible said, look at verse 10. Now Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Now here's a miracle. And you have to read the other accounts to get the whole picture. And sometimes God make you dig a little bit to get a little more truth. But the Bible says in those other passages that when Jesus went over there, that place was a desert. Now, I've been in the desert several times. And there ain't no grass in the desert. My friends back in Arizona, maybe listen to the message, all of them do. My buddies over there, Navajo Indians, I love them to death, but they ain't got no grass. You ain't getting no grass cutting business over there, amen. Amen. Maybe it was raking up tumbleweeds or something. I don't know. But the only grass you're going to see is a few places where they watered a lot. And a lot of it's just artificial grass.
Yeah.
The Bible said it was a desert. And Jesus said, make them sit on the grass. And if you read the other passage, not only said, make them sit on the grass, he said, make them sit on the green grass. And not only did he say, sit on the green grass, he said, on much green grass. So when you put it all together with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said, hey, make them sit down on that much thick, fluffy, green grass in the desert. You know what the Lord's doing? He's doing a miracle, amen, is what he's doing. Hey, God can do great things and blow your mind, amen. Here in the desert, and they thinking, man, we ain't got nothing to feed the crying. It's dry as crackers, dust out here. And the Lord said, listen to me, boys. Make them sit down and make them sit on the green, fluffy grass that's out there. And they sat down. Can you imagine the picture out there when we saw him coming over there and it was a desert and he was up on the mountain seeing that crowd and there was a big multitude coming and now they're all sitting down in green grass. You know what the psalmist said in Psalms 23? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord will do if you just listen? He'll put you on the green grass. He'll make it a little more comfortable for you, even in the desert times of your life. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, amen. Hey, their faith is beginning to increase. They're sitting down and the miracles are being performed right before their eyes, and it can't be nothing but God doing it. Look in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves. Now they're sitting on the green grass. And by the fact, if you read the other accounts, they're sitting in ranks. God's a God of order. And he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to disciples, and disciples to them that were set down. Can you get the story? It was in the desert, they had nothing. And one guy threw up sarcastically, there's a little lad here, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He ain't much. He come out of a busted home, voted least likely to succeed, been a troublemaker and a hellraiser. She's been a harlot and a renegade. And God said, you watch me do something. Give it to me and watch what I can do with it. And they put it in his hands. And he said, make them sit down. They're sitting on the green grass. And he says, hey, boys, take it out there and serve them. This is the Greek and Hebrew. But the Bible says they went out and started serving them. I wonder if them boys, when they started to serve, they thought, we'll just see how much this will last. Can you imagine hearing them over the basket? Here's you a little bit, and here's you a little bit. And they like, man, I want more than a little bit. Hey, son, you just got to take what you got. We got to make this go around. You know? And by the time that basket got empty, they came back to the Lord and said, Lord, that's empty. He said, oh, here, let me fill it up again, son. And they're like, where'd that come from? That's... All right, you want some? Hey, I want some more. You want some more? You ain't fooling me. And the story just went on and on, and they kept coming back. And the more they delivered, the more they came back. And the more they let go, the more they seen God could do.
Right.
And they got so much, and they said, God, what a great God we have. And then they start coming back at about the fifth time, saying, anybody else want some? We got plenty, and we're going to be throwing it away. Just watch what God can do, amen. Hey, and your faith to pick up if you'll start walking in him and trusting him and using what you got. Great miracle. You know what the Lord did? Thank you, Lord. You know what some of you need to do? You maybe just need to start at saying, I want to thank you for what I got. That's what he did right there in verse 11. He looked up to heaven and thanked God. Thank you for these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know exactly what we needed today. Hey, can you just say, Lord, I know it don't look like much, but I thank you for what I got. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my little church. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my Bible. Thank you for the heart. Thank you for salvation. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
Lift it up and give him thanks. Hey, man, hey, don't you forget to thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life and what he's giving you. Even though it might not look much like much to the world, hey, God's about to do something great with it when you get thankful to God. Amen.
Amen.
He thanked him and he gave it to them. And they ate as much as they would. This is what the end of verse 11 says. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. God's not wasteful. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments and five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. God can make more out of what we have, and he'll make it better than what we are. God can use what you have to reveal Himself to others. As you obey, your faith will increase. And the more your faith is increased, the more others will see Christ in you and the miracle, and the more God can be revealed to this world. That crowd left there saying, "He ain't just a prophet. He's much more than a prophet. He's God." Hey, you know what God wants to do? God wants your lunch. And He wants to take your lunch and show the world who He is. I just got one question. Can He have yours? Can the Lord have your lunch? Are you willing to give it to Him? You say, "Preacher, it's not much." That's okay. That's all He wants. And watch what He'll do if you'll give it to Him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God has spoken to your heart today, the best thing you could do is get up out of that pew and come. Come talk it over with Him. He's passed by your way. As others are coming to pray, you just mind the Lord. Nobody around here try to embarrass you and come to where you're at unless you want somebody to pray with you. If you come to this altar and lift up your hand, we'll put somebody to pray with you. But if not, you just want to talk to God, you come on. Many in the building today, your faith is weak. Your back is against the wall, and the Lord's come by with a reminder saying, hey, I'm still God. Why don't you give it to me and watch what I'll do with it? Some of you here today are lost, as she plays. Your need is salvation today. And if you would come, the God of glory would save your soul. If you was to die right now, heaven wouldn't be your home. You know what God's saying? I want to be your Savior. I'll take you. What a miracle. What a miracle. Which is nothing, and make something out of you. Do you know what God did when He saved my soul? He took nothing. And by His blood and grace and mercy made something. Made me a child of the King. Maybe someone today is like that and you're lost and you've come by and God's saying, hey, I want to be your Savior. I want to deliver you from hell. I want to give you to fill that void that's deep down in your heart that you've been trying to fill everywhere else. You're not going to find it nowhere else. There ain't enough money. There ain't enough drugs. There ain't enough alcohol. There ain't enough women. There ain't enough men. You fill in the blank. There ain't enough of it to fill that void that's in your heart. Only God can. And He'll save you today if you come. He'll take you and make something out of you. Why don't you trust Him as your Savior? Some of you today need to give God your life. You're saved. And you say, "God, it ain't much, but you're telling me today you'll take it. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to sit back and watch you do something with it." Watch Him. Watch what He can do. A lot of you Christians are forfeiting the joyful life of Christianity by holding back on God. Don't hold back. Let Him do exceedingly above what you can even ask or think. Give Him your lunch and watch Him feed a multitude. Watch Him do miracles that you could never dream. Don't you miss the message today. God wants you to leave better than the way you came. You let Him do it. Others may doubt and maybe try to pull you back, but you trust the Lord. He can do it. In this case, great disciples doubted. But it didn't limit God. Others around you might doubt you, but it won't limit God. In due time, God will show Himself. You just keep trusting Him.